I've got another example. I know a priest who has not been celebrating Mass for years. He doesn't pray anymore. He only continues to work in his monastery because he finds the work interesting, but he's like dead wood. I told him, try to pray, just try to turn back towards the Lord. And his answer was always, no, I can't do this. I just can't do this. It's too late. You know, sister, when it's over, that is it. And his face was lined with grief. And you know, these people can be counted in the hundreds, in the thousands throughout the world. Those who started out as the blessed of God, as the elected, as Jesus' chosen ones. Those who have known the sweet anointing of the Holy Spirit and how sweet it is to belong to the living God, but who one day have gone astray and who never found the way back to God. And now they see that their hearts have become like a tomb, a dark and dank prison, and they no longer have the courage to look within themselves because they know deep down inside that death reigns there. So they keep themselves busy and distracted with a multitude of activities in order to avoid this painful and scary confrontation with their true self. Isn't it terrible? And when can this pagan world of ours offer to such souls? This world cannot take them in nor help them. This world of ours is just powerless here. You know, you remember the high priest who said to Judas in the temple, when he collapsed with remorse over his betrayal of Jesus, they said to him,
so what? See to it yourself. It's your problem.
You know, how can this world of ours, which is filled with unbelief, rescue anyone who live in such deep spiritual distress? It just cannot. Therefore, we who believe, we who are the church, how could we not be filled with urgency to proclaim the utmost mercy of God, especially toward those who suffer in the hells of this world? Let me speak of one of the worst cases in the whole history of humanity, the case of Judas, who betrayed Jesus. Well, Judas was one of the 12, and he had been definitely chosen by Jesus himself out of love. And we shall see together now how Judas, if he had not hanged himself, if he had lived until Pentecost Day with the other 11, well, he could have very well been called the disciple whom Jesus loved. If anyone objects this, saying, no, that is not in Scripture, sister, we need proof for it. Well, here are the proofs of the extraordinary love Jesus had for Judas. And I'll point out the sign of this love that the Lord showed for the most lost of his disciples. As we hear the stories of Judas, from beginning to end, don't we see foreboding walls rising around him? And this little child of God suffers agonies within those walls, like a prisoner who is dying of thirst. This is why the Lord asks us to lay dynamite to these walls. When we talk with our brothers who live in darkness, it seems to us that these walls stretched up to infinity, that they are so thick they are impenetrable. But the Lord responds to the workings of evil with all the workings of his mercy. For mercy is his dynamite, divine dynamite. No wall is so thick that it will not collapse before the Lord's compassion. Sure, it is easier for us to understand Jesus' mercy towards Mary of Magdala or towards this little Zacchaeus who became so great through his repentance. But the case of Judas is even more beautiful. Now, I offer you to make a little experience together. I hope you'll follow me. At this point, we can try to go down together somehow into Judas' private hell. I mean, into the prison of his heart. Let's pretend that we are watching a video together with sound and picture, a video of the heart of Judas. As for the sound, It's easy to imagine what we will hear in this video because there are two different voices speaking. First of all, there is that gentle sound of the voice of Jesus who is calling Judas, who offers his tender love to him. You know, that soft breeze of love murmuring in Judas' heart. But then, at the same time, we'll hear another voice, of course that of Satan, that voice that cajoles, that ensnares soul in order to destroy it. You got the point? As for the picture, it's easy to. Actually, there are two kinds of light. First of all, there are what we would call spotlights with multiple colors, like those found in some nightclubs or discos. For example, a red spotlight, a green spotlight, a yellow spotlight, they are blinding. They are like flashes from a camera, the evil one's camera, actually, coming at us from all directions. Thoughts, fascinations, temptations, impulses. And these flashes of colored light come at us from everywhere and they seduce our very souls. But then, in the same dank prison, there is also a simple little nightlight, a humble and quiet little tongue of flame, the memory of Jesus' presence there. And this little nightlight lights up that slippery slope that leads down into the abyss. And it reveals it. It shows it for what it is. It also lights up a staircase rising before us, but we can only see the first step of it. And we know that these steps lead up to heaven. They will take us to the exit from our prison out into the light of day, the light of life. Now, let us see how Judas acts in the various stages of the story. Well, at the hour of Jesus' passion, everyone is put to the test. Everyone is under attack. And this is the time when, even at the Last Supper, the apostles managed to start squabbling as to who among them should rank highest, which one of them was the VIP, you know. And this is also the hour of Peter's denial. And as for the high priest, they go all out to destroy Jesus. Actually, everyone on the scene is in a state of agitation. This is the hour of darkness. No one is spared from it. Why was Judas such an easy target for the evil one? The reason is that he had allowed a sin to exist a long time within him. He was indulging in a sin and he did not struggle against his temptation. That was his mistake. He was a thief, the gospel tells us, and because he nursed this sin, his soul was fertile ground for the evil one's seeds of temptation. The door to his conscience lay wide open. His heart contained a fatal crack. It is also possible that, because he was a thief, the other apostle did not like him so much. Maybe they shunned him. Maybe Judas have been suffering from frustration, which is also a typical white fisher that lets the evil one in so easily.